You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, It's Too Much. Topic, Sharing the Yoke of the Messiah. It's Too Much. You know, sometimes we just have those days. At our work, things are just not going our way. Oh, not just one thing that seems to be against us, but one after another. Then, coming home, there is so much to be done. One thing is fixed, cleaned, repaired, and then two things seem to be broken, in need of repair, or dirty again. Also, with our spiritual and physical health, Satan seems to score one or two of those one step forward, two steps back moments. It is just enough. Time out. I'm sure we all have had these feelings, or indeed maybe have some of these right now. I know I told my wife this week, concerning my secular job. Honey, I'm so done, wish I could just quit the job. I need to tell you, that takes a lot. I'm not a quitter, and deep down inside, I love the people, the product, and yes, even the trouble and the stress that comes with it. I just love to fix things. But sometimes, things can become too much, too many attacks at the same time, when our armor, our shield, is lowered. Even when it is just a little bit, even just a millimeter, then, and just then, Satan pokes through. Then I look up and see on the shelves on my desk the lyrics of Share My Yoke by Joy Webb. And I think of the words of Here I Am, Send Me. But for one reason or another, those lyrics, Here I Am, Send Me, are not coming. I cannot remember them. Oh my, am I not ready to go in the name of Jesus anymore? There is, however, also another song with the same thoughts, and I really want to share that with you today. It is by Keith Green. Oh Lord, there's just so much to be done. Oh Lord, so many souls to be won. Oh Lord, this world is falling apart, dying for love from a broken heart. Here am I. Send me. Though there's really not that much I can do. What I have seems so small, but I want to give it all to you. Okay, God, I've said that many times, and I'm also sure I've meant it. I do mean it. But at this time, it is just too much. Then there are those lyrics I mentioned on the shelf. When I'm tired and nothing's going right for me, when things I've counted on just do not come my way. When in my mind, the thick gray folds of doubt arise. It's then I seem to hear him say, share my yoke and find that I am joined with you. Your slightest movement, I shall feel and be there too. Share my yoke and come the way that I must go. In our togetherness, my peace you'll know. The world beholding us will see it so. Lyrics from Joy Webb. The last couple of weeks, First Lady Wilmer and I have had a hard time falling asleep. I listen to my 30 minutes of teaching, and normally I fall asleep, but not lately. All these things are contributing to the feelings of inability to get things done. Watchman Nee said something, however, that will be our focus today, and which has all to do with our inability to feel in control of our situation. Because believe it or not, that is truly what it is. We feel attacked, out of control, and controlled by others, controlled by the situation. My friends, when many of our friends, and even many of our own, would feel this way, they would say those words that are so dreaded, at least by me. I'm overwhelmed. And while writing this, I am reminded that this week indeed, one of my dear friends used that word too. Maybe this is not just a word of learning, but also a special word of encouragement. For you, for me, for all of us, and especially for all the mothers with little babies, and for those with the big babies called adult children and husbands. Not enough sleep, postpartum blues, and just too much to be done. A word today against feeling overwhelmed. You know, I really dislike that word. As Christians, we claim, proudly I might say, that we have given Christ the control of our lives, and we have received the Holy Spirit, fused with our spirit to help us in this control. However, when and while we are overwhelmed, we are saying it already. The load of today came over us. It took us off guard. We are no longer in control. And when we, and with that the Holy Spirit in us, are no longer in control, then who is? We all know this answer. It is the world, the situation, or in other words, at that moment, our shield has lowered. It is Satan and his demonic minions that pierce through. While listening to Watchman Nee, he referred to John chapter 15, verse 4. John chapter 15, verse 3 to 5, Common English Bible. You are already trimmed because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch can't produce fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Likewise, you can't produce fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. The King James Version uses the word abide. Abide in me and I in you. Many of us know this word. Then what truly does it mean to abide in? Yes, as the Common English Bible reads, to remain in, grafted into, attached, and held into, indeed. But the dictionary says something really interesting. It says, abide by, accept, or act in accordance with. From the Old English abiden wait or await, from a Proto-Germanic word meaning to expect, to await, to tolerate. Wow. Okay, you have accepted me in your life. You have with that received my word, and you, as a branch, have been trimmed and shaped a bit. Now, and this with the new meaning of the word that we just have learned, await and tolerate me, and I will await and tolerate you. To abide in Christ, we need to tolerate his direction for our lives. We need to wait, await his timing and plan. And then only, he will tolerate us. Jesus said, and I will await your change. I will tolerate your slow progress. I will accept you into me. Oh my, wow. Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful revelation. We are not told to struggle to be in Christ. We are, however, told to stay, abide in Christ. It was God's own act that placed us in Christ, not ours. It is God's hand that placed Jesus on the cross so that a doorway, a mezuzah with the blood of the Lamb, would be there for us to go through. God has done the work in Christ and would have accomplished it without us, because God does not need us. The work of salvation for mankind does not come from us. Your salvation does not come by you, but by Christ. We can go through a Christ as much as we want, but when God would not have placed the salvation work in Yeshua HaMashiach, then all would have been for naught. God has done this salvation work in Christ. Amen. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Common English Bible. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in my body, I live by faith, indeed, by the faithfulness of God's Son, who loved me and gave himself for me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, King James Version. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The waiting on, holding on, and attaching to Christ and the Holy Spirit is life essential for any Christian. Isn't it that the grape is fed through the roots, the stem, and the branches? Watchman Nee said it so clearly to me this week. Would it be weird, I would say silly, to have one cluster carry green, light-colored fruit, and another cluster carry red-colored fruit, and yet another one carry deep purple grapes? We would say that those grapes are genetically manipulated. It is just not right. In the same way, it is with our Christian life. When you are connected to the branch of Jesus Christ, abide in Him, you will carry the fruit that comes from Him. The branch is fed through the stem and the roots. It is given the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in turn through the branch given to you. And with that, the only fruit that can be carried is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And hear me right, it does not say fruits as if it were a pick and choose option. No, it says the fruit, all or nothing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, complete Jewish Bible. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. Nothing in the Torah stands against such things. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Amplified Bible. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, an even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things, there is no law that can bring a charge. Dr. Jeffrey Seif of Sar Shalom said it one day so stunningly, Torah, which means the teaching. I hope you all know by now that the Torah means the law, but this was a whole different approach to me, concerning the law, the teaching, the instruction on how to live life and how to behave. As it is written by Paul, Romans chapter 10, verse 4, Amplified Bible. For Christ is the end of the law, the Torah, the limit at which it ceases to be. For the law leads up to Him who is the fulfillment of its types. And in Him, the purpose which it was designed to accomplish is fulfilled. That is, the purpose of the law is fulfilled in Him. Romans chapter 10, verse 4, complete Jewish Bible. For the goal at which the Torah aims is the Messiah, who offers righteousness to everyone who trusts. Romans chapter 10, verse 4, Common English Bible. Christ is the goal of the law, which leads to righteousness for all who have faith in God. Unfortunately, we read in the King James Version, Christ is the end of the law. And of course, we all know how that came into existence with the teachings and readings we have done on supersessionism and the horrible and abominable words and changes of Emperor Constantine. People often misunderstand Romans chapter 10, verse 4 to mean that Christ ended the Torah, as we can understand from the translation of the King James Version. In the Epistle to the Romans, the Apostle Paul said, Messiah is the end of the Torah. And in his Epistle to the Galatians, he wrote, Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, Common English Bible, so that the law became our custodian until Christ, so that we might be made righteous by faith. The Torah was put in charge to lead us to Christ, the Messiah. In this sense, Jesus, Yeshua, is the goal of the Torah. He is the destination at which the journey of Torah arrives. Is Jesus to be understood as the ending of the Torah then? Number. He is the end, but not the ending. The Greek word used for end, telos, in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, implies that He is the goal of the Torah, but not the termination of it. Telos equals that by which a thing is finished, its close issue. the end to which all things relate, the aim, purpose. Yeshua, Jesus, is the completion, the last part of the Torah, not the finisher, but the finish. In fact, he himself has said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Amplified Bible, "Do not think that I came to do away with or undo the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." In what sense is Yeshua the goal and ending of the Torah? He lived a perfectly righteous and sinless life. He perfectly lived out the Torah. Therefore, he is the end for which the Torah aimed. There is so much for us that we live for that sometimes we forget to abide. Yes, there is that word again. Abide by that important law of completion, that wonderful time of completion that God has set aside for him and for you. On the seventh day, God was done and saw that it was good, and he rested. Seven is the number of completion, and on the seventh day, we celebrate the Sabbath, the day of rest. In the Bible, it refers to this seven so many times, especially concerning the land, God's creation, that we work. I truly believe that when we take that seventh, whatever it is, lives will be better and more complete. And it is again another commandment, mitzvah of the Lord, that we follow. 7 hours of sleep is what a lot of scientists are telling us that we need. Oh yes, it is a new and wonderful revelation. However, the Bible has been telling us so for centuries. In the Bible, it tells us that 8 is the number of healing. In your sleep, they discovered, if you get that true 7 hours in, your 8th hour is the one that your body needs most for restoration. It is the number of healing, my dear scientists. We already knew that. So many times, the Bible tells us that for 6 years you shall labor the land, and on the 7th year it shall lay fallow. The land restores itself. It is dedicated to rest for a whole year. Oh, and guess what? The time of tribulation, in the book of Revelation? Yes, 7 years. Why tribulation? Because there is no rest, no Sabbath. Thus now, I'm coming to my point. If we divide our day into 3 sections of 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of labor, 8 hours of whatever we need to do for ourselves and for our loved ones, then yes, then it is equally divided. But where is God in it? In our secular society, we do not have a Dolly Parton 9-to-5 anymore, which would have been a 15-minute coffee break, half-hour lunch, and 15-minute tea break. But isn't that more in line with what God had in plan? 8 hours of healing. At home, mothers, this is your day, the 8th hour. Be spoiled for that 8th hour in your day. Take a book, listen to some music, watch something fun. Let the healing take place. When we are walking on the highway of salvation, we are abiding in Christ, and in that, abiding in the law. I pray, take that hour and relax with Christ. The problem with me, and I'm sure with many of you, is indeed on how we started today's message. Too much to do, too many things coming our way, and it starts to take control of us. Satan is using our situations to take control away from us and away from the Holy Spirit. 3 times 8 hours. When you go to bed, do you pray? Do you listen to the Word of God, spoken or sung? Do you wake up with prayer and a good morning, Holy Spirit, on your tongue? I'm sure that when we focus on it, more can be accomplished in a day when we set time aside to live life by the law and take Sabbath healing hours in our day. For me, for you, start by taking that hour today, at Mother's Day. Fathers, spoil your wives a little extra today. Fire up the old barbecue and grill some steaks. Mothers, ask your children if they love Jesus, and if so, then let them give you 1 hour to let Him, Jesus, love on you with peace, quiet, and His words. All work and no play or rest goes as well together as an ox and an ass. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10. King James Version. Thou shalt not plough with an ox and an ass together. At the beginning of the message, I shared with you the words from Joy Webb. When I'm tired and nothing's going right for me, when things I've counted on just do not come my way, when in my mind the thick gray folds of doubt arise, it's then I seem to hear Him say, share my yoke and find that I am joined with you. Your slightest movement I shall feel and be there too. Share my yoke and come the way that I must go. In our togetherness, my peace you'll know. The world beholding us will see it so. Joy Webb. When we abide in Christ, He will share our yoke. He has given us the rulebook on how to live a life worth living. And because He awaits in us and tolerates us, we know we can be yoked up with Him. The ass and the ox, they did not and do not tolerate each other. But Christ does tolerate you, and He tolerates me, as long as we abide in Him. With Christ, we are equally yoked, not burdened by the law, not burdened by the word, but led by the word. Jesus on the left, and you and me on the right. He tells us when to pull. He tells us when to turn. And He tells us when to take a rest, a Sabbath hour of restoration. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Amplified Bible. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart. And you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. Beloved friends, if there is one truth that must resonate today, it is this. We are not meant to carry our burdens alone. The yoke of the Messiah is not one of bondage, but of partnership. He calls us to abide, not to strive in our own strength, but to stay connected, to remain rooted in Him. In this divine connection, we find rest, renewal, and the restoration our weary souls desperately need. Christ is not merely beside us, He is in us, and we in Him. His gentle leading and patient tolerance speak not of condemnation, but of divine compassion. The deception of this age is that we must do it all, fix it all, and be all things to all people. But the gospel truth says otherwise. Without me, you can do nothing. That isn't defeatism. It is divine design. Our identity is not in performance, but in presence, in His presence. When we abide, we yield to His timing, His shaping, and His voice. We lay down the illusion of control and pick up the peace that surpasses understanding. We learn the rhythms of grace that come not from striving, but from walking alongside the Savior. Let us reclaim the eighth hour, not as indulgence, but as obedience. In honoring God's order of rest and healing, we invite His presence to dwell richly in every part of our lives. Fathers, lead your homes in honoring this sacred rhythm. Mothers, receive it as a gift and necessity. Children, learn it early, that life is not just toil, but also divine fellowship. And to all who feel overwhelmed, know that the Messiah has already carried the weight that threatens to crush you. Abiding in Him means more than just believing. It means yielding to His pace, His rest, and His joy. It means sharing the yoke not as beasts of burden, but as beloved children, walking in step with the one who says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." Let this message dwell in you richly today. Let it guide you into a Sabbath rhythm that renews your mind, body, and spirit. So today, take that hour, share his yoke, and know the peace of the one who calls you his own. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.